right now in the UK, obviously your boy DJ Limelight, DJ Sims, the Culture Podcast, where we like to meet up with some real interesting people. Today is real legendary. We've got DJ Drama.
What's up,
from the ATO. You get me? What's happening, my bro?
You get me, bro.
Welcome, obviously. Welcome to the UK. How are you finding the UK first and foremost?
I'm finding it quite fancy. The vibes are good. The women are beautiful. The food is about a 7 or 8 out of 10 thus far.
I was expecting you to say 9.
I eat a lot of Nando's.
Yeah.
I probably had Nando's about 4 times already. The Indian food is good. I give it 8.5. The weather is shit.
I was waiting until you came to the weather.
Yeah, I was going to save the worst for last. Yeah, the weather is shit. But, I mean, you know, I definitely, more than anything, like, you know, I feel like, obviously, you know, me being in the music business, coming over here at this time, at this moment, was vital, because I feel like the UK hip-hop scene is really exploding, you know, really doing a lot. Not only like locally for what's going on here, but it's also touching stateside and influencing stateside, and has been, you know, for the last couple of years, obviously with the drill scene, but just in general, you know, I mean, you know, I was talking about it last night, like even Central C Sprinter, like in the States, was like a big tune, like 1 o'clock anthem, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
And beyond that, like, we're just definitely getting more familiar with a lot of the artists that are buzzing here, and even on the come up, you know. I just recently, like, was, you know, through friends as well as doing my own research, was hearing about C China and, you know, how she was moving, cats like Jazz Karis, Nipa, like, she's dope, man. You know, to see D-Block Europe sell out the O2 4 times.
Crazy.
Back to back to back is incredible. You know what I mean? Like, and for them to take on the name of a group from the States and to really, like, push it forward to a whole new plateau is super dope. So, you know, I'm enjoying my time, but I also came over here, you know, to work and do something, put something legendary together, as you speak on legendary.
Definitely. And, you know, mentioning D-Block Europe, DJ Sims, their biggest fan.
I've literally been to their shows, like, for so long.
Yeah.
When they were in smaller arenas, not even arenas, like little clubs. They were just doing club shows, performances. To see them sell out 4 times was just insane.
Yeah.
And they put on a really good performance. Really good performance, yeah.
No, they dope. And, I mean, I know they've been, you know, at it for a minute and getting everything they deserve. So, I was just even reading the stats, like, you know, the platinum records they have and the gold records they have, and, like, just, like, you know, they're really moving. So it's to be commended.
Definitely. I had the pleasure of having Young Ags drop a freestyle for me back in 2017. And it's like, people forget that he can actually rap as well. Like, he does the melodic thing, he does the singing kind of vibe, but he's an actual spitter. He can actually rap. Before we start talking more about the UK with yourself, obviously you've come up from, you know, a couple decades now, a good few decades, you know what I'm saying? And kind of similar to myself in the UK, because I come from the mixtape era here. The mixtapes here don't really go off like that no more in the UK, that's the truth. But we did a lot of work on the roads, you know what I mean? Shouts to Ruthless Records, a lot of history there. We've done a lot of early gigs, records, and a lot of UK artists have grown up off those mixtapes. But in the US, people like myself were inspired by people like you. Because of your work rate, but you're still going hard with the mixtape thing. I mean, what's the mixtape game like now in America?
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, honestly, it's kind of had a resurgence. You know, for a while, in the last, I'd even say in the last really decade, the word mixtape was kind of just a word. Once the streaming platforms took over, you know, people would loosely throw the word mixtape out there, almost in a sense where you would say it was your mixtape because you were afraid to call it your album, you know, because when you put it up on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, it's, you're pretty much, you know, crossing the same T's and dotting the same I's that you would as an album, you know what I'm saying? Especially when it's like there's no DJ involved, you know, it's just like a body of work. So the mixtape art had gotten lost for a while, and you know, just recently with people like, you know, West Side Gunn, with people like Dreamville, and you know, definitely Tyler the Creator, you know, there's been this resurgence. I feel like when Tyler had the genius idea to reach out to me for me to be a part of his album and to pretty much make Call Me If You Get Lost at Gangsta Grills, you know, there was some nostalgic in it. You know, obviously he was a fan growing up of the mixtape scene and what I was doing as well. So, you know, when we did that project, it reached out to a fan base that was familiar with that sound, as well as introduced it to a fan base that didn't understand why this guy was screaming all over the records and yelling, "He's on a boat. I'm on a boat." Like, you know, so, and then for us to win the Grammy was just like the icing on the cake. And since then, you know, it's like my phone hasn't stopped ringing. And, you know, I've really, these last couple of years have been really focusing on my label Generation Now and my artists. So when the opportunity presented itself for me to like kind of revitalize Gangsta Grills, you know, I was all for it. And I think it's dope because it just, you know, you never know how the cycle's going to work. Or it's just similar to like when people were wanting that quote unquote 90s feel or 90s hip hop, you know. So now, well, the mixtapes that were most known, and when Gangsta Grills was at its climax, was like the 2000s. So now that we're in 2024, like that's the nostalgic era that people want to get back. And you know, you listen to somebody like a West Side Gunn, and you'll hear like a "Damn Son," "Where'd You Find This Drop," like just that mixtape feel. So it's pretty dope, man. You know, I don't know outside of myself if there's a lot of DJs that are in a position to like do what I do. In a sense of like how I approach projects. But, you know, I mean, honestly, I'm one of one. But even beyond me, like just to see the success that like someone like Metro had with Heroes and Villains and him being a producer, like, you know, in a sense, his album comes from that school, you know, of you know, obviously it's an album, but him being a producer and it being an album, like somewhat of a compilation, like he's carrying the torch. So yeah, it's dope. You know, I think that just the fact of artists having me host their projects and then it going on streaming platforms in that vein is what was necessary for us to use the word mixtape again. Like, I don't want to go on Spotify and hear someone's mixtape but not have the mixtape feel. So, okay, now when somebody calls DJ Drama and we do a Gangsta Grills and you hear a mixtape, it sounds like a mixtape. And it's still available on all platforms. It's not like you have to go search for it on like just a mixtape website.
Yeah, definitely. But like, talking about the nostalgia though, like obviously you know this more than anyone, like with the mixtape era, you know, the hard copies, actually having the CDs, the covers, you know, one thing that. The reason why I even got into doing mixtapes and initially was because of the covers, because when I used to see the designs, I did research, I was like, yo, I need to make my UK tapes look like the US tapes. Like, it was mad animated. Do you feel like music, audio in itself, it's quite a deep question, but like, do you feel like the value of music has gone down since streaming, because the way people consume it, it's not the same as walking into a shop and being left with a 20-track tape for the rest of the week. Like, you can literally listen to anything from anywhere at any time now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has affected, like, albums as a whole, you know, album sales, because, you know, a lot of people discover and listen to music on playlists or just, like, you know, songs in their own instead of, like, listening to a body of work as a complete body of work, you know, and that was an important moment or era, you know, where I come from, or where we come from. Like, a lot of people could make records, but can you make an album? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the difference between, like, a rapper and a rap star, you know what I mean? Or a superstar. Like, if they could make a complete body of work, like, that really showed who was here to stay. And a lot of that is missing. Like, some artists that come up now don't even care about an album. Like, they just want to make songs. But interestingly enough, I do feel like on the nostalgic tip or somewhat of a resurgence, the last couple of years have been incredibly huge for vinyl sales. And I think there's a reason for that. Like, you know, the statistics show that the vinyl has exploded in the last couple of years, where there hasn't been this much money spent on vinyl in like 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. So that means that people want to actually physically have something in their hand. They want to, you know, hold something, pause. But, you know, like, you want a record. You want to be able to take the actual vinyl out and look at it and read the credits and things like that. So, you know, obviously no one's listening to CDs or tapes, but the fact that vinyl sales are where they're at, and a lot of albums that are coming out are, you know, people like record labels put in the order for vinyl 6 to 8 months in advance, you know, so they can get that album out on vinyl. So I think that means something. I think that, you know, that says that, yeah, I think that there has been a decline when it came to the music and how people were digesting it and what it meant. But me seeing how the vinyl resurgence is happening means that, you know, the actual album, or, you know, the meaning of holding something tangible still means something to people.
Yeah, dope.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like we were talking about this, like, earlier, but obviously you're such a legend, and DJs like myself, we've been following you, you know, we've been knowing your journey, and I feel like it's hard when you have to move with the times, but how have you managed to stay so relevant in 2024, you know, social media, TikTok, everything now is just elevated, but how have you kind of used your journey, used your mixtapes, used everything to stay so relevant and be so successful as a DJ?
Yeah, thank you. You know, early on in my career, like, you know, I started DJing literally in 92. So I've been DJing for 32 years as a hobby. I feel like I didn't break through or, quote unquote, make it till about 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. And I put a lot of work in between those years, like a lot of grinding, a lot of hustling my own mixtapes, a lot of birthday parties, weddings, you name it, I did it. You know what I mean? And so when I got on, I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, like, all right, you got here, like, you check, like, you made it, but how do you stay here? You know what I'm saying? So relevancy was always very important to me. You know, like, I've seen a lot of people blow up or have a moment, but to, like, sustain that moment, like, that's how you tell the difference between, you know, the goods and the greats. And I've always wanted to be a great, and I've worked to be that. So, you know, through the years, I've been able to, you know, kind of like see what the waves were. And I think a lot of that even comes from just being a mixtape DJ. You know, as mixtape DJs, I've always been addicted to new shit, you know, and I never wanted to get, like, stuck in a box of the being back in my day, or feeling like I wanted the respect of a generation that didn't necessarily owe me respect. Like, you got to earn respect regardless of what I accomplished yesterday. Like, that's great. And I have amazing accolades of things that I did in the past, but it was also the past. Like, you can't live on that. And I can't, like, force someone to respect what they're not familiar with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that means you got to keep on working. And, you know, I think it's dope, like, the way my career has gone. Some of it has been organic, for sure. You know, like, when I think about, if you ask someone, like, have you ever heard of DJ Drama? And you say, why do you know of DJ Drama? You might get some people that say, I know Gangsta Grillz. Like, I know Lil Wayne. I know him because of Young Jeezy and T.I. Some people might say, oh, I heard this song called Wishing with Chris Brown, and, you know, it's on my playlist, and it's DJ Drama's song. Some people might say, because of Lil Uzi Vert or Jack Harlow, or some people might say, I heard him on Tyler, the Creator's album. So, you know, just to be able to, like, have that type of career that with the longevity and the part of culture that I've been a part of, like, it really comes down to like my passion and how much I love hip hop culture. And, you know, I was doing this when I was broke and could barely pay my bills. So to be able to be in the position that I'm in, to, you know, not only be successful, but to help make others successful and to travel the world and to do what I love, to, you know, as a living, is like, it's the biggest blessing ever, and to leave a legacy behind. So with that being said, like, you know, I feel like I'm just getting started. You know, I never want to get complacent. And I look at, you know, I look at the big dogs. I look at the Dr. Dre's and the Jay-Z's, you know what I'm saying? And realize that, like, as much as legendary as I am, there's levels, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, I'm very thankful of what I've accomplished. And, you know, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that I would. My only goal was to get my name on a flyer. Like, when I started DJing, that's what I wanted to do, get my name on a flyer. So, and then, you know, with social media, it's even, that's a whole, you know, I didn't grow up with that in my younger years, in my era. So it's a blessing in a sense, because it's a larger reach that you can gravitate to and use it to your advantage. And to be honest, I'm not really much personally of like a TikTok guy, but I get it. And I think it's dope. And, you know, I also embrace the generations that come after me, you know, like my label is called Generation Now, you know? So, you know, the artists that I've signed, we signed them, we met them when they were like 18, 19. And, you know, as much as I believe that hip hop is in a great space now where you have older artists getting the respect that they deserve, like, it's also always about the youth. Like, hip hop was built on the youth. And, you know, and even I'm 45 now, but I still am able to be in a position where I don't get complacent and think that what we did in our era, or, you know, eras, is better than what the youth are doing right now. Like, and I think sometimes that gap between, you know, generations can get harmful if you're not careful.
And I think that's a very big point, because even myself and Sims working together, it's funny because, you know, she came up through her teens. I took her on at that age, and to see your growth as well and how much Sims grew and how much she had to battle with the elders, mm-hmm. almost, because it was almost like an insecure thing.
Right. They were hating. Yeah. She was younger. She was probably more attractive. Yeah, like, you know, it's like job security.
Things are popping up more online. Yeah. They're seeing the numbers and the game's flipped now. And it's like, you either embrace it as an older in the game that has the experiences that the younger still need, but then kind of got to give them the ammunition to be able to really, really let out that content that works for their audience. And we've seen that. And you mentioned TikTok. Now, there's a big debate and a big conversation myself and Sims have been having a lot, actually, and we're going to talk more about it on our podcast. Is the beef between Universal and TikTok, so to speak. I don't know if you know much about it.
I do.
Yeah, man. And we feel like it's a real everybody's heading into the unknown that's involved in it. So what's your take on Universal Music and TikTok, and the music that is on TikTok from Universal Music being taken off TikTok?
So I have a little insider information. I don't know if I'm able to share the numbers, because, I don't know if this is public information, but let's just say this. I know what YouTube spent paying the record labels in a year, in an annual year. Let's just say we're talking the difference between 100 million and in the billions, and not 1 billion, not even 2 billion. So if you think about what YouTube is paying out and what TikTok is paying out, honestly, TikTok has been getting over, you know. So I do understand why the music industry, or why Universal, is having this pullback when it comes to their stance towards TikTok. Now, from an artist perspective, especially when the artist is not the one that's always seeing the profit, there comes a issue, because it's affecting the artist that's trying to promote their music and get it out there, when a bigger entity that's making way more money than that singular artist is being affected and their music is being taken down. So it puts them in a rock and a hard place. You know what I mean? So I see both sides. Or let's say I see the side from an artist who feels like, yo, you guys are being greedy, put my music up on TikTok. But I also see the side of the record label who's looking at what they're getting paid across the street in comparison to what this app is paying, especially when this app over here is really like regulating and running the game and setting trends, and you know, everyone's going there for music discovery.
I feel like even for content creators though, and DJs, it's almost in a way can affect their content, because we can't,
what you play.
Yeah, like there's been so many mixes that I've made in the last, like, just like a TikTok mix, you know, all of them have just been taken down. And it's hard because it's like people know, especially the younger DJs like myself, people know us for, you know, playing mixes on TikTok. And it's kind of that situation where it's like, is it time to change up our content? You know, maybe that's the way forward.
I mean, I think one thing about culture, or one thing about creatives, is that we're creative. So we're always going to find a way around the loopholes or the next thing, like, you know, and that's what happens a lot of times when, you know, like, even when the labels got scared of what Napster was, you know, I mean, they were fighting legal battles. And now what Napster did is literally their blueprint for how they make money, you know,
streaming. So, yeah.
You know, it's all a circus.
Yeah, for real. But you know what? It's good to have you up in the UK.
It's great to be here.
Let's quickly go through. I know you've spoken on other platforms about UK artists that you've connected with, artists that you're paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone you want to shout out from the UK that you really connected with, people that you're really listening to, really feeling?
For sure, absolutely. It's so hard because I never want to miss anybody. But shout to C-China.
Yeah.
My man Nippa, Stormzy, Giggs, shout to Skepta, of course, Legend, D-Block Europe is killing shit, Jazz Karras, Cristal, Suspect, Hetty One, shout to yourself, shout to Kenny All-Star, shout to Semtex, Charlie Sloth is doing his thing.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I could go on for days, you know.
You feel like you're really connected.
Digga D. You know, I mean, as a DJ, I like to, I'm not going to touch down anywhere and not know what's going on. Like, if you're a DJ watching, like if you're a doctor, you can't go into a hospital and just pick up some shit and not know what you're doing. If you're a lawyer, you can't go into the courtroom and, you know, not know the law books, you know what I'm saying? So I feel as when you're in music, you know, you should abide by those same codes. So yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to touch down is to, you know, actually physically, like, you know, get the sauce and, you know, touch the people and get the energy, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Definitely. And you know, with music being so global now and people just interacting with music from all over the world, obviously myself and DJ Sims being Indians, being South Asian, being so connected with that audience too.
Huge.
Yeah, man, we thought it would be a good time to connect with a legendary DJ like yourself with a couple, just maybe two.
Okay.
Should we do, yeah, we're on with two South Asian artists that we feel are really doing their thing right now. Just kind of get your opinion and thoughts on it, because I know when someone has an open mind to the language side of things and then understanding what their angles are, I feel like it can really help an artist, you know, feel appreciated by a legend like yourself.
I appreciate that. Are they rapping in English or?
They're rapping in Punjabi.
It'll be in Punjabi.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm right.
Sukha, who we're about to play you now, he literally just came off the back of a UK tour.
Mm-hmm.
He sold out 6 shows all over the UK, completely sold out in different venues. He's only 19 as well. Wow. And I think when you hear his music, you'll hear that kind of hip hop influence, but he is crazy big, and I feel like everyone's talking about him right now, okay, globally, but also mainly obviously in the Asian scene. Okay. So we're gonna play you one of his songs.
Now, after we play the song, can you then tell me what he's talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Net bag kar desi jad te o sale kal hir kane ni main phed te phir pe gayan snap te storyan mor balliye bana ke ganga toriyan hogi viral clip nal lagya si hip kad hawa ch chalaiyan jad goliyan bas ek wari keh deni main teriyan jatt dabda na gallan kare bas ek wari keh deni main teriyan jatt dabda na gallan kare kehdiyan
I like it. What's it called?
Armed.
Armed?
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
So he's talking about the grease. He's talking about being obviously prepared for the haters.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of the rappers are inspired by Sidi Musiala, who's like this legend, man. He's obviously done tracks with Burna Boy, and there was rumors about him and Drake connecting.
He passed away, right?
Yeah.
He was shot 26 times. He passed away. You know, he was quite...
It was big.
Political, kind of getting into the politics side of India.
Okay.
And fighting a cause that seemed to obviously...
So he was assassinated.
There's footage online of him getting shot up.
Wow.
A very sad ending to a short career as well. You know what I mean? He was only really making music for about 4 or 5 years before he passed. But his impact is very... You know what's scary about Sidhu is his impact was very similar to Tupac.
And he was influenced by Tupac.
He was influenced by
Tupac. Okay, makes sense.
You know, he had a song called 295.
295.
But then he died on the 29th of the 5th.
Oh, wow.
And so the cover photo was of 295 was the car.
The song. He had another song called The Last Ride. He died in the car.
Wow.
So he kind of almost knew like that. But it's people like shit. The young brothers like Sukha, obviously, they're now living in Canada.
He's speaking on some street shit.
To some extent, yeah.
And gotcha. They're making a lot of noise right now. Like, everyone's attracted to that sort of music, that same kind of vibe in the Asian scene. But I feel like someone like Sukha could potentially go global.
The beat reminds me of, like, a Scott Storch beat. Yeah, I mean, the song is fire, you know. It's like, I could hear he's got bars that he also has. Like, he knows how to make a hook. Gives me... I hear a little like 50 Cent inspiration in there,
big time,
influence, and yeah, it's dope, super fire.
Yeah, dope, man. Before we drop you something new, I say we play one more artist.
Yeah,
one of our personal favorites. He goes by the name of Chani Nutton. It's quite similar.
Okay,
they've worked on a track together before, him and Sukha. So he's got a tune called Daku, which you play this at any club that is full of South Asian people. It
goes mad.
Yeah.
It goes mental word for word.
And you will recognize the sample straight away.
And he's talking a lot of grease on this one.
Ho gaya car tel tu na Escobar chakkeya dasso ki ne pinjre ch sher dakkeya big stepper aane chakne step ni tere shehar vich khali karni galab ni ik jeep khadi meri thane de vich badle de main do laina ni main daku ni main daku ek number da ha jehdi cheez te akhe o kho laina ni main daku ek number da ha jehdi cheez te akhe o kho laina yaar mere nikle trenchan chon game na tu ਕਹਿ ਕੇ ਭੰਡਦੀਆਂ ਨੀ ਹੁੱਡ ਤੇਰੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਹੀਰੋ ਮੰਨਦੀਆਂ ਨੀ ਕਾਤੂ ਕ੍ਰਿਮੀਨਲ ਕਹਿ ਕੇ ਭੰਡਦੀਆਂ ਡਿਪਰੈਸ਼ਨ ਇੰਨੀ ਤਕੜੀ ਕੇ ਪਹਿਲੀ ਤੱਕਣੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੋ ਲੈਣਾ ਨੀ ਮੈਂ ਡਾਕੂ ਨੀ ਮੈਂ ਡਾਕੂ ਇੱਕ ਨੰਬਰ ਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਤੇ ਆਖੇ ਉਹ ਖੋ ਲੈਣਾ ਨੀ ਮੈਂ ਡਾਕੂ ਇੱਕ ਨੰਬਰ ਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਤੇ ਆਖੇ ਉਹ ਖੋ ਲੈਣਾ ਕੋਰਟ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਕਿ ਤੂੰ ਗਿਲਟੀ ਹੈ ਤੇਰੀ ਸ਼ਕਲ ਕਤਲ ਨਾਲ ਮਿਲਦੀ ਹੈ ਲੋਕੇਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਨਾ ਕਰੀਏ ਡਰੋਪ ਵੇ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਲੱਭਦੇ ਫਿਰਦੇ ਆਪ ਹੈ ਮਿੱਟੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਰਦੇ ਡਰੈਗ ਨੀ ਯਾਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਸਕਿਓਰੇ ਆ ਬੈਗ ਨੀ ਨਾ ਮਿੱਟੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਰਦੇ ਡਰੈਗ ਨੀ ਯਾਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਸਕਿਓਰੇ ਆ ਬੈਗ ਨੀ ਹਾਈ ਪ੍ਰੋਫਾਈਲ ਕੀ ਕਰਨੀ ਚੰਨੀ ਨੱਤ ਤਾਂ ਲੋ ਲੋ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਨੀ ਤੇਰਾ ਮੋਗੇ ਵਾਲਾ
Recognize the logo?
See it.
Uh-huh. It's like Bad Boy.
Oh shit, yeah. Yeah, they're mad influence with like the US hip hop. Obviously you can hear it in the track. Obviously the Money in the Grave instrumental.
Yeah. The Money in the Grave instrumental. And then it's interesting because they had American Money in there.
Yeah.
But like his style was more Indian in a sense, like how he was rapping compared to the last one in a sense. That's just fire. I could tell that goes up in the club.
Yeah.
What does Daku mean?
I think he's more like an outlaw person, like almost like he's not accepted.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You get it? Or like a nuisance kind of thing.
No, that shit goes up.
Because even he's talking about when he's in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they said the guy looks like him and all that kind of stuff.
I definitely heard him say he was a big stepper.
Mm-hmm. But you never know. There might be a Gangsta Grills India edition.
Man, I would love that. I would love to do that. Like,
we should connect, man. We should definitely have a chat.
That'd be crazy.
Because there's a whole scene out there.
That would be crazy.
They love the crossover and the connect. And, you know, we're flying the flag for that too.
Scream and everybody in India here.
Therefore, man, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, bro.
Absolutely been a pleasure.
It's been wicked to connect, man.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Keep doing your thing, Sim.
Salute. Yeah, it was so nice to meet you and well. Talk to you.
Sure, congratulations on everything.
Oh,
therefore, man, blessings.
No,
wicked.